This is the MagicWordPodcast.com.
Hello, this is Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com. Well, this is going to be a little bit different. Usually whenever I'm getting ready to go to a convention, you hear me reporting from the airport and I go by Dunkin' Donuts where I am enjoying a cup of coffee and one or two donuts as I talk to you about getting ready to go, and I would be spreading my wings with the company plane, of course, which the Magic Word podcast endorses, which was Southwest Airlines. But this time I'm going to try something entirely different. I'm going to drive from Houston to Grand Rapids. That's about 1,200 miles one way. Yeah, I know, I'm kind of crazy. But I tell you what, get a chance then to listen to some podcasts I've recorded, also some Audible books that I'll enjoy along the way. And along the way, I plan to stop in Champaign, Illinois, to hopefully get a chat with Andy Dallas, who owns the Dallas Magic Company, and then post that podcast somewhere down the road. And then also I want to have an opportunity to go and visit the Chicago Magic Lounge. I'm going to be in Chicago for a couple of days to stay with Don Weiberg and his wife Joyce, and then drive the rest of the way up to Grand Rapids. And then from here, of course, as you know, if you're listening to this right now, that I'm going to be reporting from the convention floor each day with a daily update on kind of what's going on. So even though that you may not be here, you can feel as if that you are here because you can kind of hear some of the sounds that are going on and some of the people as we go around and chat with those who are some of the registrants, the organizers, the talents, dealers, etc. So anyhow, that's kind of what my plan is. It's going to be a long drive, and hope to see some of you at least at the convention. Those of you who will not be able to make it, please enjoy these little blurbs that I have that will be little conversations with conjurers throughout the next few days. So come back and enjoy these each day. And also, I probably need to probably go from here by Dunkin' Donuts. We have one not too far from the house here. I think I might grab a donut before we go. How would that be? At least I kind of feel like that I'm really going to a magic convention if I go and do that first. So buckle up, and here we go. I'm on my way. This is Scotty out. All right, well, we are in line now for registration, and as I'm here, I think that we're going to be hearing from is the current president, Mr. Bob Patterson.
Hey there, Bob.
Hi, how you doing?
And his lovely wife, Nancy, the first lady.
Hi, thank you.
And so, anyhow, this is going to be your kind of swan. This is it. You're turning it over then to the next president, incoming president, Michael Finney, will be taking over from here.
Yes, yes. I'm going to give the chain of office to Michael during this convention.
Right, right. And so tell me, what have been some highlights? Where you and Nancy, where have you guys traveled? What have you done this year?
I think probably the highlight was the travel to Ring 25, which was in Scotland, the British Ring. And we had a great time over there.
Yeah. The weather was lousy, but that was beside the point.
And we did just recently we did the Hagerstown Ring with their banquet and installation of officers.
Where's Hagerstown? What state is that?
Where? Maryland.
Maryland, okay.
Hagerstown, Maryland. And also went to Pittsburgh not too long ago to their ring and did the installation of officers and show and whatever else we did. I don't remember.
It's been so long. It was fun.
But it's been good. It's been
fun. It seemed like just kind of a whirlwind. I mean, as far as this year, did it go quickly?
Yes, it did go fairly fast, and we did get to meet a lot of new people, a lot of old people, and people in the IBM. It was good. It was great.
Right. Some things that did you get some things accomplished? Did you have like an agenda, something that you wanted to do this year as far as traveling and meeting some new people, forming new rings?
You mean from hereafter?
During this past year under your presidency.
Yeah, there was a new ring in, I don't remember where it was at. I think it was in Wisconsin, was formed, and soon to be announced during this meeting, there's another ring being formed, but I'm not allowed to say it yet.
Okay.
But yeah, another ring, which will be a surprise, I think, to most people.
Okay. Sounds interesting. I'm not going to go any further than that. I got a couple of ideas what it might be.
You may already know. I don't know.
Interesting. And so after this year, you're going to be then taking kind of a back seat? You're going to continue to
No, I'm the I'm the registration chairman for next year.
You go right back into what you were doing
before. That's right. Go right back to where I was.
Because you've been doing that for how many years?
About 8 years.
You know, that is, I think, the most difficult job in a convention is the registration chairman, and both of you guys have done just a great job, and that's the reason you've been doing it for so long. Why they're bringing you back, I'm sure.
And this year, Simone Moran is the registration chairman, and she says she's very happy to give it back to me.
That 1 year was enough for her.
Yes. Yeah, yes,
okay.
Yes,
not too much for her.
But you guys have done a great job, not only that, but also as president and first lady. So thank you guys very much.
All
and
right.
Good luck in the future, then, too.
Okay, thank you.
Very honored to represent IBM. I really do.
Thank you, Nancy. And Bob Patterson. This is Scotty out. So now we are in the dealer's room and going around with a few dealers. And one of my favorites and yours, too, is Miss Gay Blackstone. Hi, Gay.
Hello there.
Good to see you.
Nice to see you also.
And you and Harriet are working behind the booth over here. You've always got a lot of great jewelry. Got anything new this year?
Oh, we have so much new jewelry. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can't even start to tell you what all we have. But there's probably... We have all of our signature pieces, and we probably have then another 25 or 30 new pieces that no one here has ever seen.
Oh, really? That's fantastic. You know, I think one of the interesting things, too, is that this is not just for women. I see a lot of men.
They have
jewelry for men.
We have lots of jewelry for men. Mm-hmm. We have jewelry for men, and we have jewelry for men as presents when they go home to say to their wives, it was a great convention, but I was thinking of you.
That's right. That's a good idea. Yeah, you weren't with me, but I was thinking of you. You know, I bought something for you, something special over there. And so I know you're going to be coming to the TAOM, or you may not be, but Harriet, at least you're going to be having the booth at
Harriet is going to be at TAOM.
In Houston?
I won't be at that point because that's the time that the Bally's show is closing.
Okay.
Because they're going to be redoing the room, so we're closing Masters in the Bally and the Jubilee. Mm-hmm. Theater in Las Vegas on September 3rd.
That was one of the things I was going to talk about, that we'll get to the TV show in just a second. So this completes what, 6 months, a year? It's been a year, hasn't it?
It's been it'll be about 9 months.
Okay. And are they going to move to another theater, or are they just going to shut down for a while and refurbish?
Can't tell you that right now.
Okay, you're working something to work.
Uh-huh.
Okay, good.
We're talking to other people. Let's just say we're talking to other people.
Okay.
They like us in Vegas.
Good. Had pretty good houses?
We've had very good houses.
Good.
So it's been successful, great. And the show is great fun, and it's different from the touring show. It has similarities, of course, but it's also different. So it's, it's a whole different thing.
Well, you've got the TV show, of course, that you're building on, and people know that. It's kind of like the Carbonara effect, that whenever that they see Michael Carbonaro on TV, then they'll go to his show live. And the same thing here, like what they see on television, so they want to see it live.
Because we have one of the fastest-paced shows in Las Vegas, because it is. It's built on the brand and the styling of the television show. First of all, we have five magicians in the show. I mean, and that's unheard of in any show to have five stars, but we do.
And they're all equal billing.
Absolutely, they're all equal billing because they are all five. It's stars, Masters of Illusion stars, all five of the magicians. Mm-hmm. So we have that, and then things are quick-paced, and, every 3.5 or 4 minutes, if you don't like something, we're changing to something
else.
Yes.
Stand by.
Yes. So it is. It's very much geared like the television show.
And on the TV show, that last week was the second week?
No, last week we premiered.
It was on Friday.
June 29th.
Saw that one.
Yes, we premiered.
And so the one coming up on July 6th, and you're doing two a night.
Two a night, yes. What they're doing is they're doing a new show with an encore show.
Oh.
And yet the ratings were phenomenal. They are so thrilled. I am so thrilled. We are all so thrilled.
Yeah.
And the encores got as high ratings as the original show, which astonishing in itself, but it did, and it all worked. And network is thrilled. We're happy. And as I said, we keep reinventing the show so it's the same format, but yet slightly different.
I mean,
this year we have, for instance, there's 16 new performers this year that you've never seen before.
Okay.
We have 42 performers, but 16 new ones.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of close-up and with a lot of overhead cameras and things of this nature. There's quite a bit out in the audience.
Yes.
So we just keep kind of changing it up every year and
obviously, you're getting good ratings, to bring it back. It's fifth year?
Fifth year on the CW, and nothing is ever repeated. That's one of their rules.
Yeah.
So that's one of the reasons that I'm here at the convention, to be scouting new and different talent, because if somebody's off my radar, doesn't mean they're not phenomenal, but they're just you know, I'm only one person and they're off my radar.
Right,
so.
Right. Well, you know, I was thinking that whenever I was watching the premiere this last Friday, I thought, I don't know that guy. I don't know that couple. There's two guys from England. Then not only did I didn't know them, but they were fantastic.
Yes.
I mean, they were very, they were doing tricks I had never seen before.
That's it. there are some really clever and new and different things out there.
Yeah.
And it's fascinating to watch and
yeah.
it's fascinating to be part of it.
It's
wonderful. I love it.
Well, I've just been appointed as the entertainment director for the Magic Island. And I remember when Harry had come and performed there, I think, on opening way back in 83 or whenever.
Something like
there.
That.
Yeah.
Yes, I remember
yeah.
that.
And we still have the Blackstone Corner. And so they're keeping a lot of the things in there.
Wonderful.
Yeah. So I may be talking to you sometimes saying, hey, do you have somebody you recommend to
and
come?
I'll be happy to because yeah. I always, one of the, I mean, I always say to Jack Goldfinger, mm-hmm. I just saw so-and-so and
yeah.
sending him a list saying, you should look at these people. I've just seen them. I think they'd be great at the castle. They were
yeah.
wonderful because, you know, people need to be encouraged. And,
exactly.
And if none of us know them, then... Right.
And there are a lot of new acts all over the world.
Yes.
You know? And that's what I like about the convention here at the IBM convention is you have a lot of international acts.
Yes.
It's not just a local or state kind of a regional convention. Mm-hmm. You do have a lot of other
and
international...
And you were talking about like the guys from England, and mm-hmm. their things are they're high technology.
Yes.
I mean, the iPad things, those are wonderful.
That was so clever.
Yes. So, you know, so you never know where you're going to find them.
Right. Now, you said you have about 17 different people this year on the...
16 new people.
Uh-huh.
So,
wow.
I don't know. And,
wow. So it's going to be on the CW, and how many episodes?
We did 13 new episodes, and we go like the next 14 weeks because they do some repeats in there. So,
so
they just keep going. So just set your DVRs. And
check
we'll
your
get,
listings.
And check your listings.
CW
we're at Friday nights, 8 o'clock or 7 o'clock, depending upon if you're Central.
Central or, yeah.
So that's it, and some and in some areas where it gets preempted because of sports, then they do it on Saturday instead of on Friday. So just check your. Basically,
okay.
we're set to be Friday nights at 8, but
sometimes you might get bounce back then.
Yes.
So I think if they just set their DVR properly, it should be able
it'll
to
find
get,
them.
It'll find it. Gay, thank you very much.
Oh,
good luck with
you.
That.
Thank
good
you so much.
Good seeing you. Catching
good
up.
Seeing you too. I'm delighted you're here.
So for the Magic Word Podcast, that was Gay Blackstone. This is Scotty out. All right, so going through the dealer's room over here that we've got with me, Mr. Jeff McBride. Hey there, Jeff.
Hey, it's always good to wonderful see you. To be here, and it's always great to be at the International Brotherhood of Magicians National Convention.
And you have been working then with Lance for the junior things the last day or so?
You know, this started almost 30 years ago. Lance
that
Burton
ago.
Put on a luncheon at the Tropicana for Joe Stevens World Magic Seminar. And it just built into this incredible force of nature that launched the careers of Dan Sperry, Andrew Basso from The Illusionists, Shin Lim was one of his first magic conventions. And you never know, the next great star of magic comes out of there. And the movie Make Believe, if you've seen that with Bill Cook and all the other great magicians. So this is a real kind of... passing on of the torch of magic, and we know that the next great magician is in that room.
That's kind of interesting. I mean, it's kind of gives you goosebumps to kind of think, you know, where the next person is going to be coming from. And a lot of times, yeah, they're learning from people who are greats. I mean, and of course, you teach a master class in when people come out to Vegas, but you're giving them a piece of that class here, I guess.
What we do is we give the teens a lot of coaching, a lot of training, skill building, but also inform them about the history of magic and the community of magic.
That's important.
And that the people that they see inside of this class, this 3-day seminar, they'll know the rest of their lives. If
yeah.
they stay in magic. And yeah. we realize that not everybody's going to be a professional magician, but young people can learn so much from the art of magic, you know, self-esteem, creativity, confidence, communication skills, that no matter what path they choose in life, they'll be able to use all of the lessons that they learn at this seminar.
Do you encourage them to enter a contest?
Well, we think the contests are very healthy, and we don't encourage them to think each other as competitors. They're just
yeah.
friends and allies.
Yeah.
You know...
Your closest friends are those who you compete against, though, as you know.
And that's true, yeah, and it's really true. Lance told the story of their one of his first magic conferences was the Abbots get together in Michigan, and he had the people that he was on the competition were Jeff Hobson
yeah.
and Matt King,
yeah.
some of his closest friends. So we know that the competitions are a way of setting goals.
Right.
And achieving the goal, and then getting creative feedback from the judges and the other coaches just to sharpen your game. So we think it's a healthy thing. For me personally, it's hard to compare art, you know, but there is.
Eye to beholder.
But there's a place for magic competitions, and a lot of careers get launched from magic competitions. When Hiroki Hara won the World Magic Seminar competition, you know, his career really took off, and then he did the movie Make Believe, and then he did America's Got Talent, and now he's got an illusion show touring Asia. And he was part of the Lance Burton Teen Seminar for many years.
Right.
And, you know, we've had a lot of people really launch their success from that, and that's a great thing to see.
But, you know, Joshua Jay and Andy Gladwin have the new Magi Fest that they have revitalized, and they don't have contests as part of their convention, basically, anymore.
I understand what they're doing has a very different vision, but there's
that's
a tradition
truth.
Of the Society of American Magicians, the International Brotherhood of Magicians, FISM World Championships. There's other places.
Right.
So they don't want to be like other places. They're trying to do something
different.
Well, yeah, and also they have other learning tracks and other study tracks for people that are at the convention, and it could be that they just don't have the bandwidth, I don't know, to put on, because it takes a huge amount of work to put on a competition and to tech all those shows. And unless you have an immense facility, you don't have all of the different spaces you need to rehearse, tech, and perform.
Right, right. Well, I'm not going to keep you too long, but also you're going to be involved with the Eugene Berger Memorial Lecture. Tell me about that and what you've been
carrying
on.
Well, it's the Eugene Berger Legacy Lecture, and what Eugene passed away last August, and I've been studying with him for just about 30 years and teaching magic with him for 26 years. And we planned a tour throughout the British Isles a couple of years ago, and Eugene passed away. So the new dean of the Magic and Mystery School, Dr. Larry Haas, mm-hmm. who is a preeminent philosopher of the art of magic, and he's an author of 15 books and DVDs on magic. We decided to honor Eugene by keeping the tour that we had booked with Eugene, and it's called the Eugene Berger Legacy Tour. And we've been offering this lecture to magic clubs all through the English-speaking world,
mm-hmm.
and this is the first time it's going to be done in the USA.
And it's going to be in the evening? What time is it, like 10 o'clock?
Well, Eugene had a tradition when he would perform
at,
he would always do a late night seminar for those who were interested. The partiers would go off and party.
Well, he slept in, though, too. You know?
Yeah, well.
he wasn't a morning person.
No, he was not. He was a night person.
Yeah.
And he was at his best during his late night talks.
Right.
And I'd seen many of his late night talks over the years, and that's what really attracted to me his teaching philosophy and his performing philosophy. So we're going to carry on that tradition and doing some late nights. And I'm doing a late night on the next on Saturday night after the gala show. I'm doing an 11:30 3-hour workshop.
3-hour workshop.
3-hour workshop.
Now, how long is this Eugene Berger legacy?
This is going to be a 90-minute workshop. It's going to be a lecture, and we're going to be showing a film talking about his magic, talking about his close-up, his stage work, his bizarre magic, his spirit theater magic, and also his unique approach to sharing magic, his way of teaching magic. One of his final books that just came out is called Teaching Magic.
Right.
And it's what he learned from teaching magic as he's teaching you some of the best routines in his repertoire that have never been published before. He's telling you what he learned from his many years in magic.
Now, that's going to be Wednesday night or Thursday night? Which night is the lecture? Do you know?
The Wednesday night.
Wednesday night.
Tomorrow
night. On the 4th of July.
So there's still time
to
come.
That's right.
And celebrate.
It will be. And you're going to be showing just a little bit of a film? Or is it going to be like
a PowerPoint presentation? We had a Michael Kaplan, who was one of Eugene's longest documentary filmmakers and photographers, put together a video, which is made of many videos of Eugene over the years, showing all the different aspects of him as the close-up magician, as the entertainer, as the dramatic side of him, the comedic side of him. And it's a very short film. It's only 5 minutes, but it's extraordinary, and it really captures the essence and the teaching of Eugene Berger. Then we do a commentary on the film short, and then we teach magic routines, unpublished magic routines of Eugene Berger, and share it with
When you say workshop, is that going to be hands-on, saying, hey, you know, pull out your cards? And
there will be a few hands-on pieces,
okay.
Yes.
Okay.
But it's going to be, you know, it's talking about Eugene Berger's legacy.
Perfect. Okay, great. Jeff, thanks very much.
All
Looking
right.
forward to that. It's always good to see you, my friend.
All right.
Okay, take care. So for the Magic Word Podcast, that was Jeff and Brian. This is Scotty out. So here we are on Wednesday morning, and it is July the 4th, and this is the first full day, actually, of the convention, which we'll be reporting. And a lot of stuff going on. Just had my first cup of coffee and also had my first conversation with my good friend and yours, Mr. Bill Cook. Hey, Bill.
Hi, Scott. How are you?
Fantastic, and that'll be better after I finish this cup of coffee.
Tell me about it.
You need one, too.
I'm doing the convention drag, and we haven't even started. I've been here for a couple days now working with the youth program, the
yes.
Lance Burton Seminar.
And this is something you were involved in as a youth,
yep.
and then now you're one of the instructors. I think it's
yeah.
pretty cool.
You know, it's a fun way to kind of come full circle and keep it going, paying it forward. I remember
yep.
you know, sitting in the room thinking, oh, God, I would love to be one of these guys one day. And here I am.
Here you are. That's right. And you have reached more than just a level of fame, you know, much higher than many, and currently starring in the Masters of Illusion with Gabe Blackstone
yes.
on the television on CW. And you're going to be on. This is the fifth season, I understand, of the show.
This is, I think, we're going on sixth for this iteration.
Okay.
See, the fifth or sixth.
I talked to Gay yesterday.
Is
she
it
confirmed
fifth?
Five.
Oh, gosh. Gay, don't listen. I lied. I lied again. I made us older than we are.
But this is not your first season. You've been on before.
This will be my third season
wow.
On the show.
And all new stuff.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
They required that, she said.
Yeah, for me. They won't put me on the same show doing the same trick because the only thing that's going to change is I look like I gain more weight. So,
well, with my beard, I should be saying, ho, 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 ho. I'm kind of the same way. As soon as you get older, you look like me.
you know, that's the thing. You get older and you start shifting both horizontally, vertically, and horizontally on the belt line, vertically on the term of facial hair.
Yeah, on your hirsute. So what plans have you got for this year? I know you've got a dash here in a moment, but what are you doing? What's big on the agenda here for the balance of this year?
So, happy 4th of July, by the way. I'm leaving the convention today to drive back home to work on the lakefront for...
The Navy Pier?
Yeah, the 4th of July celebration in the Crystal Garden
area. You do
area.
It every year, don't you?
Whenever I'm home...
Yeah.
As long as I'm home to be hired, I'll work it.
I remember seeing you on a video that you had won a contest on the pier.
Yes.
Some years ago, was it?
Again, in the Crystal Garden.
Yeah.
That's where they used to hold the Chicago Magic Contest.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, driving home tonight to work.
That's only about a few hours from here, from Grand Rapids.
It's 3 hours.
Yeah.
And I drive a hybrid, so it doesn't really cost any money to drive, mm-hmm. so... Yeah, it's fine.
That's handy. Is your mom up here?
My mom's here with me. Good. She's not facilitator. She's the, I guess Jeff would call her the boss. Jeff McBride would call her the boss.
Yeah, okay.
I'm working cruise ships. So when I'm not on land, I'm
right.
on a ship. I get to go back to Cuba in November. I get this. I'll be in Havana the week after the Magicians for Magic Cuba.
I was just going to say, I'm going to be there for the convention.
Yeah, somebody leave me a deck of cards at the pier because I would just leave one there, and I'm sure I'll find it.
I might just do that for you.
A week later, I'll
yeah.
be... I'll
How close was that? Almost there.
I was in Cuba last month, and if you get interested in going to Magic Cuba, it's really cool.
Okay.
Like, you think... Like, I had this vision of Cuba in my mind, and then you go, and it's everything about it is exactly what you think, but not at all what you think.
Okay.
Like the images, the cars, the music, the food, the culture, the people, yes. And then it's not at all what you think it is. So it's like, it's this really cool polar opposite thing that you have to experience.
Interesting.
And, yeah. Also, cigars and rum are great in Cuba.
Well, that's part of the experience we're going to be having at Magic Cuba. Is they're going to be going, I think, to both a rum plantation and a cigar plantation.
So yeah. I went to, I did a tour of the cigar plantation, and there's lots of brands of cigars, but
sure.
the two of the most common ones are Romeo y Julieta, so Romeo and Juliet.
I love Romeo and Juliet, yeah.
And
Vintage,
and
three is my favorite.
Yeah. Oh, we'll talk after this is over. Monte Cristo.
Uh-huh.
And the reason that they named them after these plays is because you know, there's a room full of people rolling cigars, and at the front there's a lector, a person sitting at a podium, okay, reading. And they'll read whatever the propaganda is that comes through, or they read books and plays and magazines. And when they were rolling certain types of tobacco, they were looking for a name, and they just happened to be reading Romeo and Juliet that day.
So instead of listening to the radio or having television on or playing some music?
They don't listen to the radio. Someone reads every day, and that's like the highest position in the building.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I learned a little bit before I go.
Think about like the Viking ship, the dude with the drum. That's the same idea.
Okay.
So
to keep him going.
Yeah.
And motivated.
Yeah. It's cool.
Well, that's kind of like, you know, I drove here from Houston, which is quite a long drive.
So you hit the drum, huh?
I listen to books on tape, listen to Audible books. And same thing, the drive goes so much quicker if you got something else. In fact, I have to thank a fella who is our newest friend of the Magic Word, Mr. John Wolf, who drove all the way from Gettysburg. And he said it was a 10-hour drive. And he said, I listened to your podcast all the way.
Oh, yeah, that's
great. My goodness. You know, I don't think my wife would have listened to me that much for 10 hours straight. And he said, okay, I've got to have to join the group and, you know, give you a donation. He said, because I really appreciate that so much. And that I would give you his address in Gettysburg, but I think you've already got it.
Yeah, got it.
The Gettysburg address, yeah.
Well, you've got that smooth jazz, like, hey, folks, this is Scott Wells. We're coming to you live from the IBM.
Mr. Bill Cook. Here he is, Bill Cook.
Spinning those discs, coming right at you, wiki. I hate to cut this off. I'm going to get run into the team program. It was great talking to you as always.
I'm off to breakfast myself here shortly, so thank you very much, Bill, for doing all you've done for the youth and also for our Magic community. And
thank you for
everything.
We're
going to be seeing a lot more of you, in upcoming episodes on the CW, so be sure and watch The Master's Illusion with Bill Cook.
I love you, Scott. Bye, everybody.
That was Bill Cook for The Magic Word. This is Scotty F. So we are still on day one. It will be for quite a while as we continue to talk to some more people. We're just having breakfast with one of the performers who's going to be on the bill tomorrow or Thursday or Friday night coming up. A friend that I've had a conversation with, if you go back and listen to an earlier episode of The Magic Word, my friend from Reno, Mr. Larry Wilson. Hi, Larry.
Hi, Scott.
Great to have you here this morning. Did you enjoy breakfast?
It was fantastic. Thank you very much.
We didn't eat at the hotel. We kind of took a little bit of a walk, and I thought it was going to be more of a walk, so that way I can work some of this off. You know, I've been eating a lot on this trip.
But we're going to need to walk to Chicago to work this off.
I think you're right. Bacon and eggs and biscuits and gravy and everything. So how big of a show are you going to be doing tomorrow night? Are you bringing some illusions, or are you going to be doing just a one-man thing?
No. Apparently, this is a very special thing Finney has concocted, which I think is very clever.
Michael Finney, yep.
Michael Finney, yes. They're calling it the Legends of Comedy.
And I think you are. You are a legend.
Well, you're very kind. It alarms me, though, because it sounds like I'm dead. And
Lifetime Achievement Award kind of a thing. I'm not dead yet.
I just want to alert people who are listening to this. If by the time you hear this, I am dead, I would suspect foul play.
And I had nothing to do with it.
That's right. Well, that's what they always tell the DA. But it's all very suspicious to me. But I'm very much alive, and I'm very flattered to be included in the Legends of Comedy. It's Nick Lewin and Pop Hayden and suddenly I'm forgetting. Jeff Hobson and Michael Finney and myself in this show tonight. So it's a pretty jam-packed show of comedy magic. And I think we're all doing, we're all basically doing stand-up. I won't be doing any illusions. I offered it to Michael. I said, maybe. And he said, well, the problem is it becomes quite an operation to get all that loaded in and rehearsed with the crew. And
right.
I said, yeah, it does. So much easier for me to fly in by myself. So I think we'll all probably do 20, 25 minutes, you know.
Yep. That sounds like a phenomenal idea. I didn't know who all was going to be on the bill, but that sounds like it's going to be a great show.
Oh, it's going to be a very, very strong show. And, you know, it's funny in a situation like this, I don't know what order they have us in. Whatever they decide is fine with me, you know.
Now, as far as being a legend of magic, and some people who may say, well, who's Larry Wilson? I would say, again, go back and listen to our podcast that we had recorded when we were together in Reno or South Lake Tahoe a few years ago. And just do a search. Go to themagicwordpodcast.com. There is a search engine there. Just do a search and for Larry Wilson. You'll find that. But you have been on several television shows as well as having your own theater show, basically, I guess, there in Reno and everything. What were some of the shows that you have been on in the past? I know, I mean, go ahead.
The talk shows, hundreds, frighteningly enough. It's distressing when my own son will come to me and say, oh, I just saw you on this Halloween TV show where you produced a dish of white rats. And I'll say, oh, no, that's not me, but it might be someone who sort of dressed like me. He'll go, no, it's you. I go, I think I would remember that. Then he'll show me something on YouTube, and I'll go, hey, that is me. I don't have any. I mean, I've just done, you know, I mean, years and years and years. Now, it's funny because in recent years, I kind of made a conscious decision to stop doing television. Perversely enough, I guess, because with the change in technology, when I saw that everyone was on television, you know.
Almost everybody's been on AGT, for an example, or going to Penn and Teller Fool Us nowadays.
Right. Well, not only that, because I think those are great. I think that's all great. Yeah. But I even mean further, when the kid who is parking your car has his own...
Delight or something, or
YouTube.
Thumbtip.
Yes, but has his own YouTube channel,
okay.
Right?
Okay.
You know, that a lot of what seemed really special about television seems to have been dilute.
Yeah.
And it's not that I mind sharing that with people, but it's a lot of energy and time, and it's a really hard thing to do, a good television spot.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess evidence of this is that after the hundreds of ones, you know, I've been nominated for an Emmy for television performances, I'm not happy with any of the ones I did.
Hmm.
All of them I felt, yeah, if we had another week to work on this, because it's so different from performing live. You know, the tools that we use as magicians to focus your attention where we want it, when we want it, suddenly you're stripped of that on television. You have no idea where the director is going to call the shot. Now, if you're working with a good director...
Right, you can tell them in advance what you're going to be doing. They can help set the shots, talk the cameraman.
Oh, I tell them in advance.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean they'll do it.
Okay.
Because sometimes they're thinking, hey, man, just do your little puppet show and leave the tele... And I understand. I don't want to rain on anyone's parade. But the problem, of course, is sometimes I've had a technical director with me so that it didn't seem like I was being the one who was difficult, who'd say, you know, this one is really critical that when Larry says this, that you really focus on him and not on the assistants or vice versa, whatever it may be, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I know you saw my show Wonderland.
It's a great show.
And thank you. There's a switcheroo we do in there.
In the Gilligan's Island
routine that all these people told me, oh, you can't do this because of the way we're doing it. I said, sure, I can. And the reason I was so confident is because I knew that I could control the misdirection. Mm-hmm. I knew that I had staged it and created it to have such powerful misdirection that you would never be looking at me when I exchange places with someone, right? Well, on television, now, if you have someone...
It's two-dimensional, yeah.
Right, but also, if you have somebody who's willing to work with you, then obviously they can really help that and make it easier.
Sure.
But if they aren't willing to work with you, they can have the camera in exactly the wrong spot, you know? And that was another reason why I sort of felt like, you know, I've been offered a bunch of stuff on television in the last 10, 15 years where it was clear to me they weren't concerned about my needs. And so I just sort of went, I think I'll wait for another opportunity. Because I just thought, there's no point in doing it unless you can do it right.
Right.
And that's really what my concern has been. It seems like on AGT, I think they do it right on a lot of stuff. AGT keeps asking me to come into the show. I have very mixed feelings about it. One, because I also feel like I kind of feel like it's an opportunity for people who've never been on television,
right?
And I shouldn't be doing that. I mean... Right.
I understand. They should actually ask you in to do a spot for them. I know, like they do with, Murray Sawchuk has been in. I'm trying to think of the other guy.
Well, all the guys from The Illusionists.
Yeah, have come in and done special.
Kevin James.
Yeah,
right. And
so you should be asked to do something like that.
Well, it's very kind of you. I would love to do that, of course.
But that would be in recognition of what you've done already, that it's like you don't really need to audition because you have already passed to that point.
Well, there's a new thing I did I won't tell you about because I don't want to tip it, but we'll see if in the next 6 months. You know, I do this, I have this nonprofit I started in Northern Nevada, the Education Renaissance of Nevada Initiative.
For the library.
Right. Well, one of our first big programs was Spellbinders, which was this week-long festival of magic to bring a lot of attention to the public library system and to literacy. And so I bring in, like, world champions of magic from all over, people who everyone listening to this, I'm sure, knows. You know, people like Rocco, like Leonard Green, like Bob Sheets, like Shoot Ogawa, like John Carney. You know, big names. And they perform in branches of the library for free. Then there's a separate roster of equally famous gold medalists who perform at the Performing Arts Center there in Reno, the Pioneer Center. It's about 1,500 seats. And we do a couple performances there, also free. You need to have tickets for that, but you can get them for free by going into any library and asking for them.
Yeah.
So that gives me an opportunity to do certain things where I have more control over what we're doing. And so AGT asked me about this new thing I've been doing, and they wanted me to come down just this last month. And I just said, you know what? It involves too many people. It's got my entire stage troupe. It's two guys and two girls. Plus, I have to have my stage manager, tech coordinator on it. I said, you know what? We're going to do it this November. November 15, 16, 17, and 18.
In Reno.
And I said, we'll get really great video on it because it'll be under our control.
Right.
And then you guys can look at it,
and
if you decide, oh, that's perfect, then we can set something up where we understand what we're doing. And, you know, I hate to be so vague and mysterious here, but as many of your listeners, I'm sure, know, very difficult to discuss the tech requirements of magic with non-magicians.
Yeah.
It's very, very tough for them to understand. I was trying to explain to one of them, on some other show, it wasn't AGT, it was something else, I can't remember what it was. They wanted to do something, and I said, well, it involves some controlled lighting.
Okay.
And they didn't know.
Like, I mean, intelligent lighting?
Yeah. That kind of,
okay.
And I tried to explain to them, they couldn't get it.
Okay.
Because they thought I was talking like artistic.
Yeah.
And I was saying, no, this is to make the magic work.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It has to be very precise. It has to be, you know. So it's a hard thing to do.
The last time we talked, I should say, shortly after that, was whenever you had done something, I believe it was for Ford.
Yeah.
And it was on Jimmy Kimmel, I think.
Yeah, great thing with Jimmy Kimmel. That was really... And that's funny. That came about because of Spellbinders, because somebody in the audience told them about this routine I did. It's the world's most dangerous escape, Scott. I escaped from the world's most impermeable substance. Some people locked inside a steel can... Anyone can do that. Somebody locked under tons of sand or cement. Anyone. That's not. No, I escaped from the world's largest pinata.
Okay.
And if you've ever tried to break open a pinata,
not easy.
I'm telling you, kids are attacking it for hours. They can't break the thing.
Yeah.
So this becomes a real challenge. And so the pinata of death, as we call it. Somebody told them about it, and they contacted me, and they said, can you do this for our show? And I said, of course.
Yeah.
They said, but can you do it live?
Right.
And I said, that's the only way I do it is live. Yeah. And I forget, because then they're thinking, oh, you set up a thing and blah, blah. I go, no, no.
No, yeah.
I said, that's the only way I do it is live. And so they said, well, okay, and Ford wants to do this thing. Because Ford was promoting the 2017 Ford Escape.
Perfect.
And so the joke was that I misunderstood and thought they wanted an escape effect. Uh-huh. And so... And it was fun. It worked out. But, of course, you know...
It got millions of views, I think, on YouTube.
It got tremendous exposure. Now, I don't know if you know the children's story Stone Soup. Do you know that?
Yes, I have heard that. Where the guy comes in and he keeps asking for more and more all the time. Well, go ahead and explain that. I know what the story you're talking about. Yes.
No, it's where soldiers are going to approach a town and the town doesn't want them to steal. They hide everything, all the foodstuffs. And then the soldiers explain, well, they could make soup out of stones. Mm-hmm. And so we just need a big pot of water with some stones. And they go, you know, if we had just a few onions.
Yeah.
And then someone goes and finds, well, you know, if we had a couple of carrots. Right. And so, of course, by the end, it's full of all this stuff, and it's delicious, right? Well, that's how a lot of television production is. Oh, this is very simple. This is all we need.
Yeah.
And then, like, the Kimmel people say to me, could you do this outside?
Right. It was done out front of there on Sunset Boulevard, wasn't it?
Well, on Hollywood Boulevard.
Yeah, Hollywood.
Like right in front of the Dolby Theater where the Academy Awards take place.
Right.
But when they first said this, I said, yeah, we could.
But?
Well, you just have to be aware of what's involved.
Yeah.
Because the pinata is hoisted up in the air. So somehow we're going to have to put up trussing and rigging to hoist it. I said, oh, yeah, we can do that. Okay. And so... I said, you know what, maybe if you guys can afford to bring me in advance, I can do a site survey and we can look at what we're doing, because let's look at the space you want to use.
Right.
I said, great. The next day they flew me down, and there's an area, it's called Hollywood in the Highland, is sort of the big entertainment shopping complex that... Pardon me. Part of it is the Dolby Center Sport, but it's huge.
Right.
Gigantic. And there's a big outdoor area. And so they took me up into this outdoor area and they said, this is where we want to do it. And I looked around. Not only was it 360, you know, completely surrounded, but their balconies going up several levels 360. And I said, well, guys, we can do it out here. I said, but you should know, if we do it out here, no way to keep people off those balconies, okay?
Good point.
And they said, yeah. And I said, well, what that means is these people behind us will see how this effect is done. And before you go to air, there'll already be cell phone videos on the internet showing how it's done. Before it ever gets aired.
Yeah.
And they went, oh, we don't want that. I go, no, me either. I said, I just want to make sure you... They said, oh, okay. So then we looked around and looked around, and then finally said, oh, what about here right in front of the Dolby Theater entrance, directly across from Kimmel's
theater,
the facade? I said, yeah, much better. Now, there were still some balconies, but there was just one balcony. I said... You could put a security guard up there and block it off for the short time we're doing this.
Network.
And tell people, oh, it's for safety.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we're doing it, just to make sure no one gets hurt without explaining why they would get hurt.
Right.
And, of course, that's what we did, and that was fun, so it worked out perfectly. But, you know, it's tricky because there's a runaround, right?
Okay.
Escape from the pinata and then wind up someplace else.
Correct.
So... all that had to be worked out, and so there are all these stores, and we had to find a store that was willing to let us run through their store.
Yeah.
Now, in the case of Kimmel, Kimmel's a good example of why I did something, because it was clear they were going to do it right.
Right.
When I showed up, I mean, I explained in advance. I said, you're going to have to create sort of a jewel box stage. We're going to need an elevated stage. We're going to need pipe and drape to create two sides and a back to this area. Now, for them, they have the money, they have the expertise.
All the resources.
But other people have those, they just don't want to spend the money.
But they understand about how to, what looks good for TV.
Exactly.
So you're talking their language.
Exactly. And thank God, the executive producer of that show is a guy named Doug DeLuca. And lucky for me, not only is he a very smart guy, a very cool guy, he also loves magic.
That's advantageous.
Right? So talking with him, he was like, he got exactly what I was talking about. Mm-hmm. And so when I showed up on the day, now also interestingly enough, I'll tell you this, even though we've done this effect ourselves, my troupe, hundreds of times, they still wanted us down there 3 days early just to rehearse.
Okay.
And obviously never a bad thing. But it was really interesting because they were bringing out network people and they're bringing out the sponsors and everything because they wanted to go through every single thing to make sure that there are no surprises.
And the product was featured properly.
Exactly right. And we did, of course. But that to me is just icing on the cake, you know. When they do that, then everybody sees exactly what we're doing, and there's no last-minute surprises.
Right.
And I think that's why the piece went so well. And it was interesting. I mean, it's very interesting for a couple of reasons. But because of Doug DeLuca, I think, predominantly, I showed up the first day. It was like they had an army there. There were hundreds of people, and everybody was top flight. Everybody knew exactly. They set up this stage, and they set up lights. I mean, they had everything like the equivalent of major motion pictures I've been on.
Right.
Where, and it was just beautiful. It was beautiful to be a part
That's
of
right.
that. Because everybody, when everybody is that on top of their game, it's that much less I have to think about.
Right. It's fun for you because you can concentrate on on what you need to concentrate
exactly.
on.
Exactly. And so many times I feel on television performances, my attention is divided, that I feel like I always make myself the last priority, which is not a good thing to do. But because I'm concerned about production and all these other things, that's where my attention goes instead of on my performance.
Right.
So for this, it's funny that you mentioned that. It's one of the few things I've done the last couple of years. Because I was very confident they were going to do it right. And, you know, I think, like, when I see guys doing YouTube magic videos, I think it's great. I think it's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And I could never do some of the stuff they're doing. I mean, I see guys, I'm sure you see this, incredible technical chops.
Right.
I mean, just, and that's a fantastic use of video in that medium. The stuff I do is so theatrical, though, it really calls for a larger venue.
Right.
And as soon
proper lighting and everything else.
Right.
And,
as soon as we go to that, it becomes astronomically expensive for television.
Right. I understand that.
So.
Well, listen, I'm going to let you go here because we just finished breakfast and probably need to make room for some other tables. But besides that, I'm looking forward then to Thursday night. And those people who are listening to this, this is going to be released on Thursday, which means that if you're listening to this now, then you could still make it to Grand Rapids to see the show tonight. You could register for the IBM convention for the balance of this week. And you can catch this Legends of Comedy Magic then with featuring Larry Wilson then tomorrow night, or tonight, that you're listening to this.
That's right.
Thank you, Larry. Appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you, Scott.
Always good visiting with you. So that was Larry Wilson for the Magic Word Podcast. This is Scotty. So now we're back into the dealer's room and walking around. And Tim Stoba here with Iowa Magic Shop. And he is this first-time dealer at the IBM. Is that right?
That is correct.
And in Iowa, of course, friend of Steve Daly. And you guys, if you don't know Steve or haven't been to Abercorn Dabber, you got to go and do that.
Absolutely. We've been on staff for 5 years, and we just did our first year as a dealer there as well.
I remember Steve telling me that I don't know why I do this because he keeps losing money every year. I've not yet been. I understand it's a fantastic convention, though.
It is absolutely wonderful convention. Probably one of the highlights is he does an awards ceremony after the gala show. So he puts on this huge gala show on Saturday night. But he keeps the pace of the whole convention going, mm-hmm. and everything starts on time. It's just amazing that he can do that.
And as far as this being like your first IBM convention, I mean, you attended IBM conventions before, but first time as a dealer here, I guess.
Right, correct.
Yeah, so how was your experience? What do you think, and how do you like the convention here?
Starting off so good. So far, so good.
You got a great location. First one you come in the door right here.
Exactly. And, you know, just trying to see if we can offer something that somebody else doesn't have.
Now, is yours a brick and mortar shop in Iowa?
Yes, we are a brick and mortar in Cedar Rapids, Iowa.
Mm-hmm. And if people want to come and visit, where are you, like in a strip mall or in a...
We're actually, right now we're looking at a retail space, but we actually have a building on our property at my house that this is housed in a separate building. So I live right there and
in
I'm available.
In a residential area? Or?
It's a semi-residential commercial area, so it's a mix.
Okay. And so people kind of have to go off the beaten path a little bit in order to...
We're on a major road.
Okay.
And so we're right on a main road, and you drive by, and there's a big four-foot sign out front, and you pull back, and we've got a little parking lot back there. A lot of people refer to us kind of like Narnia, the wardrobe, or the platform 9 3/4 in
Harry
Hogwarts and Harry Potter, because... They say that some days it's there and some days they can't find it. It's not there.
No,
so.
Funny. What would you say is one of your best sellers?
One of my best sellers?
Currently.
Right now we've got the Real Cubes from Murphy's Products, and that Rubik's Cube items are very popular.
They are
right now.
Yeah, Rubik's Cubes are hot now. The Real Cube, is that the one that is the Francis Minotti idea with the magic square thing, or... Which one is the Real Cube?
The Real Cube is Harry G.
Okay.
It's a complete cube set. It's a couple of shell systems.
Okay.
And you put the stickers on and to make it up the way that you want it.
Okay. So it's different from the one that Gregory Wilson has.
Correct.
Than I get.
That's correct.
And so that's a, as you say, Rubik's Cube seems to be popular everywhere you go. I was just in the museum in Chicago, and in the checkout line there was a little, you know, gum or candy or something, you know, that was in a Rubik's Cube plastic or thing.
Exactly.
So, I mean, everywhere they're getting to be big. That's great. And so as a dealer, then you probably don't get a chance to see, you know, much except the evening shows. Are you looking forward to seeing anything in particular, or when you're here, you're going to see the sights?
I actually have to leave myself a little bit early to go back to my hometown and do a show.
Okay.
We're looking forward to my wife is going to do a little sightseeing with the kids.
Yeah.
On the way back, go over to the dunes and enjoy those.
Mm-hmm.
As far as shows, yes. There's some great entertainment, and very looking forward to
that. Yeah, the Amazing Jonathan show is going to be coming up, and I was just visiting with Larry Wilson. He was talking about how that we're going to be having Legends in Comedy tomorrow night. He's going to have Jeff Hobson and him and Bob Hayden. Just a several people. Sounds like that's going to be a great show, too.
It's going to be amazing.
So people who are listening to this on Thursday when this is released, then you need to hurry on up here to Grand Rapids.
That's
and also
right.
Stop by Iowa Magic Shop and pick up something over here. You got magic effects, supplies, books, DVDs, novelties, games, and lessons. Everything right here.
Everything. We offer a little bit of everything since this is what I do full time.
Yeah.
You know, we got to offer a little bit of everything to the public.
That's right. You got to. Well, thanks very much, Tim. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, Scott.
And so for the Magic Word Podcast, that was Tim Swoboda?
Stolba.
Stolba. Got it. This is Scotty Yack. So we just finished the stage contest, or at least part one of the stage contest. And we're here with someone else who had won the stage contest back in 1978, I believe it was.
All right, Scott, this is Siegfried. And I want to give a shout out to all the people around the world.
Hello, everybody. Mr. Lance Burton. Hey, Lance. Awful good to see you here.
Yo, hey, Siegfried. Good to see you.
Yes, Lance. Sorry, he just passed by.
Yes, Lance. Siegfried was just walking by.
I wish he would have had more time.
And wish he had more time, but he couldn't.
He doesn't like to talk.
He's very busy. I was in the contest in 1980.
It was 80.
In 1980, the IBM convention in Evansville, Indiana. Mm-hmm. And that was the first year they held the gold medal competition.
Mm-hmm.
And I was lucky enough to win the gold medal. And then they invited me back the following year, 1981, to perform on the gold medal show in Pittsburgh. And it was from that show that Bill Larson saw me and hired me to do the It's Magic show out in L.A., which is how I got on Johnny Carson for the first time.
Because one of the producers from Carson had been to the show to see you there? Or
well, you know,
I think you told me the story.
The story is the year I was on It's Magic, the star of the show was Aldo Ricciardi, the great illusionist from Peru.
Right.
And so he should have been the guy to go on Johnny Carson. Mm-hmm. So they call up the Carson people, and so they said, oh, we just had Doug Henning on doing illusions last week.
Okay.
So what else do you have?
Yeah, what else you got?
We don't want an illusion.
Yeah.
And so they said, well, we got this kid from Kentucky who just won this international award doing mm-hmm. sleight of hand magic. And they said, okay, we'll take him. And that's how I got my break on show business, was from an IBM convention entering a contest.
You know, it's interesting you talk about that. I was listening to another podcast called the Carson Podcast, and you were on the Carson Podcast.
Yeah, there's a guy.
Giving that whole story.
Yeah.
It's fantastic, which I recommend, by the way. If you like Johnny Carson, that's one of the best podcasts.
And this guy goes around, and he just interviews everyone he can who worked with Carson.
Secretaries, producers.
Who was on the show, who did anything. He's just a super fan, and does a great job.
And he apparently was a writer, I think, for David Letterman for a while in his writer's
staff. I didn't know that. Yeah.
That's kind of where he gets his, a little bit of his background. Well, tell me the last couple of days, so you've been working with the youth program.
We had our teen seminar, which is now with the IBM convention, and Jeff McBride and Lawrence Haas and Bill Cook came in to help out, and we had lectures and classes and teaching, mm-hmm. and the kids learned magic, and then they did magic for us, and we helped them with it. And
right.
It was just a fantastic program to encourage young people.
And something else that you've been working on recently, you and Fielding, and I think was at Keith West?
Oh, yeah, Keith and Fielding and Michael Goudeau. We've done three performances so far of Lance Burton and Friends, mm-hmm. and we're having a great time doing it.
And you travel around the country?
And every now and then we'll do a show, and our next one will be in September 1st.
And where will that be?
And that will be in New Mexico, Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Okay.
At the Route 66 Casino.
Is it a fundraiser kind of a thing, or is it
no, we're just,
you're doing it for profit?
We're just
yourselves.
Hanging out. Yeah,
hanging with friends.
It's just
me
and my buddies hanging out.
Yeah.
See,
okay.
some guys on the weekends, they like to get together with their friends and go fishing.
Yeah.
And spend the weekend out on a boat.
Yeah.
And drinking beer and fishing. Well, I don't drink. And when I get together with my friends, we like to talk magic and do magic and entertain each other. So we just found it's more fun to do that in a theater with an audience.
We've been talking about that with...
Then on a boat.
Then on a boat, right. Talking about that, doing it at golf courses, you know, with Steve Bragazzi and me and Dan Garrett and Michael Finney, you know.
Oh, you guys are
going to go and, like, do some golf courses and say, hey, look, we'll do a show for the members of the country club.
Yeah,
you know,
there you go.
Play golf for the weekend and have a great time.
There
just
you go. It's
out,
a party,
you know,
with your friends.
With your friends, exactly.
What other profession can you do that?
Exactly. You get paid for it. Really
accountants can't get together and go, hey, let's get together and add up some numbers.
Yeah. Woohoo, that sounds like fun.
And get free
bus
golf.
Busman's holiday.
Yeah. You let us come in and play golf, we'll balance your books.
Yeah. That's a work. Well, listen, thanks very much for all that you do and have done with the kids and everything. You know, I was talking to Bill Cook this morning, and he said, of course, he was one of the youth who was in the program earlier, and now he's one of the instructors.
Yes.
That's kind of great.
And, you know, this year we implemented a new award that we give out to the kids at the end of the program. And we call it the Bill Cook Award.
How nice is that?
Yeah, because Bill, even when he was a student, mm-hmm. when he was a teenager, I would always look over, and there's Bill helping one of the younger kids, showing them mm-hmm. how to do an Elmsley count, helping them with their double lift,
right.
giving them tips. He was always mentoring the other magicians, the other kids in the program, and that's why he did... he does now, but he comes back as a staff member. Mm-hmm. So we gave an award out to one of the kids that shows that sort of mentorship and
you never know who's going to be in that class to grow up to be the next Bill Cook or whomever.
That's right.
Yeah,
so we just started it for the first time, and we call it the Bill Cook Award, and we gave it to a young fella whose name was Christian. He's a terrific kid and a terrific mm-hmm. magician, and everybody was really happy with it.
Good. Well, listen, just before I go, I've got to tell you, I like your Elvis Presley glasses there.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. So from the IBM convention, that was Lance Burton. Scotty out. All right, well, we just finished the evening show. It was the June Horowitz Memorial Show. She had just recently passed, and she was 104 years old, and wonderful lady.
104
lady.
Years young is
young,
really more
yes,
appropriate
right.
for June, isn't it? Because
she had lived for 104
yeah,
years.
Yeah,
say that.
Amazing lady.
She was an amazing lady, and everybody knew her and loved her, and she
yeah.
was performing up until the very end. She,
yeah.
They were showing a video.
I know, wasn't that fantastic?
Yes.
You know what?
The funny Keith thing Fields, is... By the way, it's Keith Fields.
Yeah,
hey,
no, no. So they showed a video. I've got to explain this. They showed a video, and I have no idea how she did what she did.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not the cardi sort of person, and it was probably very obvious, but it actually, you know, this 104 lady did a trick,
yeah.
and it absolutely frightened me. I genuinely have.
She's laying in bed,
yeah.
on like a little table. Yeah.
I have no idea how she did that. It was great. It was great. It was a lovely moment, though, to actually watch someone, you know, do something like that. And if it was sort of a, if it turned out to be a sort of a nothing trick or something, you just go, whatever.
Yeah.
But she really frightened me.
That's correct.
She really
yeah.
frightened me.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so then Luna Shimada was the one who had
yeah.
done her show, and
yeah.
she had some parasols and a zombie with a fire thing going,
a motif going yep. there as well. And
then concluded with the...
Budgie and the,
that's right, the
egg, lime and orange, or egg, lemon and orange
right,
thing,
right,
which
right.
is a great... You know, that's if ever I don't work with animals, but if ever I did work
that'd
with
be
animals,
the ones you'd do?
That would be a trick. I think that trick is... It's just got so much to it. It's just,
yes.
It's a wonderful trick.
Tommy Wonder, I think, was the one who had the
yeah.
good work on that.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. And Paul Daniels, of course, did the nut, egg, and lemon, which is the same
yes.
sort of
right.
feel to it.
But he didn't have a live...
He didn't have a budgie at the end.
Yeah,
no,
yeah,
no,
yeah.
no.
By the way, a budgie's a parakeet.
So. Parakeet, sorry. Yes, okay. Yes,
we
gave you a language. What have you done with it?
Well, you're probably glad to be done with us. Since today is your Independence Day, actually, here on the 4th. Independent of us. You don't
yeah,
long have to worry.
Absolutely. I'm not going to tell you how we celebrate that back home.
It's your celebration, too.
Yeah, no, it's not our celebration. We call it Wednesday, and we go to work.
But you celebrate Guy Fawkes Day.
Yes. Guy Fawkes, remember the 5th of November, gunpowder, treason and plot. See, we celebrate people that do things like try to blow up the Houses of Parliament.
Yes.
You know, I think there's intrinsic comedy there. You know, if you're going to have a national day of celebration, make
yeah.
it over something worth celebrating, like destroying the government.
That sounds like an idea for some people who are anti-Trumpers right now. You know.
I'm not going
no,
there.
No, we're not going to go there.
I don't do politics.
No, I don't think we should. So, convention-wise, you have nothing to do with this convention.
No,
right?
I've had the absolute joy of actually coming. I'm attending three conventions in the next month. I'm going to be here. I'm going to be at Colon at Abbott's Get Together,
yeah.
sadly just for a couple of days. Then I'm going to be down at Magic Live. Mm-hmm. But between that, I get to go to Rich Block's theatre and
yeah.
Danny Archer's
theatre
as well.
Smoke and Mirrors, yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
and Smoke and Mirrors. So I've got that between the two.
Now,
so it's a magic...
I've been on your newsletter list, and you've
yeah.
been doing like the whole country. What was the deal you're doing with the theatres?
Yeah, many of you are probably aware of this. There are lots of theatres around that put on magic shows.
In the US.
In the world as well.
Yeah.
And there are things like Monday Night Magic in New York, or there's some magic shops have a monthly magic show they put on. There's Carol and Joe Given have got their place up in
Castle Rock.
And there's these little theatres all over the place. And I've just made it a thing to actually appear at as many of them, do our show in many of those theatres as we possibly can, just to experience them.
And I just saw you at Chicago Magic Lounge.
That's right,
last weekend.
Magic,
yeah.
That's right. That's that. Yeah. And I'm writing everyone up, and I'm also writing some hints and tips about if you want to put on your own magic show. These are the hints and tips that I picked up from all these people I'm speaking to. So it's kind of partly, it's all attached to my mail list. But I want to encourage more people to put on more shows.
Yes.
Because we
that's
only
good.
Get better. By performing.
That's right.
And as a sort
it's
of...
It's only
a,
flight time.
Yeah, absolutely. And as a professional, what I want to do is basically hopefully lend weight so that local magicians can come and see the show and maybe learn from seeing me perform.
Mm-hmm.
And as well, you know, just encourage everyone to... I just want there to be more magic out there, more performance and everything else. You know, it's just such a valuable art. And when you see, you know, numbers at shows going down, you go, oh, this is so sad. We've got to get out there and start performing. That's what it's
but
all
there
about.
Are more clubs that are
oh, yeah.
opening, like you were talking
yeah.
about. Like
yeah.
And I As you know, I'm the entertainment director for the Magic Island. We're going to be opening in November.
Yeah.
And so we're getting a lot
and
of...
And I'm looking forward to coming down and doing that one. Hint, too. Yeah. And hopefully. And I'll do a write-up and you know, tell everyone about it. So when it opens, it better be good. Because this is a warts and all write-up. You know, there are occasionally a few things that I'm not saying anything's bad.
You're looking at it from a different perspective as opposed to the audience. You know,
I'm looking at it from lots of perspectives. I am trying to think about it from the... describe the structure, because there's lots of different structures. You know, some have close-up before, some have no close-up, it's just a stage show. Mm-hmm. There's all sorts of different ways of doing it.
Right.
And it's kind of letting people know there are choices you can make, you know, like Chicago Magic Lounge.
For material you're talking
about. Yeah, well, for style of show. Chicago Magic Lounge has an hour and 20 minutes of close-up magic happening around the tables. And that's not... we'll do that, get that out of the way, and then put on the big show. That is part of why you're going there.
That's right.
You're going there to see close-up. So put on an event that makes that part of the event. That's one approach. You might want to just put on a stage show. You might want to put on just a close-up show, whatever. There's loads of different ways to skin a cat, as the old saying goes.
Yeah, because they have different ticket prices if you want to go to the close-up show or you want to...
Yeah.
And like at the Magic Island, that we have two close-up rooms and then a stage... show, and you're kind of there for the whole evening. You have dinner and drinks and everything else, and then you have a ticket. Kind of like the castle, except they're not scheduled shows then necessarily. Yeah. I mean, there may be two close-up shows and maybe literally 20 shows in a night.
Yeah.
It depends upon how many people are going to be coming and going. So every theater is a little bit different.
Yeah.
Now, in the there's also one in Austin that there's a fellow named Magic. You have to go back and look at the podcast that I had done a recording with him. He used to be a caterer years ago.
Yeah.
And he's good friends with Jack Goldfinger. And so he's got all these pictures on the wall of different people.
Oh, nice. Because
he was a caterer back during, I'm trying to think of some of these shows. Like, what was it? One with the cruise ship, that... it was back in the 70s.
Are you talking about the TV show?
Yeah, it was a television Love Boat.
Yeah.
He was like on Love Boat and some of those kinds of things. So all those different people who were actors that were on. So he's got, the point is that he's opened up this magic theater and he's got a stage show, plus a close-up theater then as well. So that's another opportunity
And of course, my ultimate aim is to actually look at all these different venues and decide, if I can produce one myself and do my own.
Well,
so it's a learning experience
for me as
well.
Like Christian and Catalina doing it in Indianapolis.
Absolutely. In Indianapolis, they've got a fantastic little show going on down there. It's a hotel room show, which is, again, a great model, great business model. Mm-hmm. And there's just so much going on out there. As a magician, I want to go and support these things.
Yeah. You know. Dennis Watkins, another one over at the Palmer House in Chicago.
Yeah.
You know, kind of like Steve Cohen's thing.
That's right.
So, there are these little guys, guys who are doing their one-man show. You know, they've got something running out, so there are some opportunities.
Yeah, they're literally all over the country. But my hope is that every city and every town will end up with a sort of monthly magic show.
It would be great.
We could just travel around and doing what we love.
Well, that was the idea of when Magic Island first opened in the 70s in Newport Beach, and they were going to be opening one in Houston and Chicago and Atlanta and Washington, D.C. and different places. And because the oil business was at a peak at that time in the early 80s, that's why they opened that first, thinking that people got expense accounts. And then they had the bust, and so it didn't go quite as well, so they didn't open up the others. But the idea would be exactly, have magicians work 2 weeks here and 2 weeks there. It'd be a circuit, on the island tour, basically.
Yeah, that'd be fantastic. Yeah.
So, now there's something kind of like that, what you're talking about. And also, of course, that Eric Olson has that down in Kissimmee, Florida, Wizards.
Yeah, again, that's just a one-night-a-week show. But again, it's a great fun event. If you're ever down there, folks, check it out, because that's what I think we should all be doing, is actually getting out there and supporting these venues.
Yep. If you live anywhere like in some of these areas, to travel.
Because if people don't go, they won't exist.
Good point.
I think the world will be worse for it. So I make a real effort. I go and see, every magic show I can, wherever it is. If we're on vacation somewhere and there's a magic show happening, I'll be there.
Yep.
I'll be there.
So if people want to get on your newsletter list, what do
you do? The best website to get on my newsletter is keithfieldsmagic.com.
Okay.
But if you just go to keithfields.com, there'll be a link. If the word magic is too much for you to remember.
Yeah, that's right. Keith Fields. Remember Keith? The important thing is Keith Fields. Remember that part of it.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. Actually, if you're not on my mail list, I'm doing this. I've got this new e-book out called 50 Ways to Improve Your Act, which will, in about, don't sign on too soon, over the next few weeks, it's going to be put together into a number of emails. which are 50 ways to improve, practical ways that you can improve your magic, and that's going to be a free gift to anyone. It's going to be sent to all my mail list, and a free gift to anyone that joins up in the future. So,
little incentive.
Get on the mail list, and let's get in touch, and let's make some magic happen.
That sounds great. Keith, thanks very much. Always good to see you.
Pleasure. Speak to you.
The Magic Word Podcast. That's Keith Fields. This is Scotty Allen.